Thank you, Brittany. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel, please, tonight. 2 Samuel 24. And let's all stand together. Let's begin reading there in verse 10. 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. 2 Samuel 24, verse number 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant. I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. I want to preach to you tonight a little Bible study, topical study on our merciful God. Our merciful God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I need you tonight. I want to be a help. Lord, this is such a great study. It's been such a help to me and changed, Lord God, my life and just stirred my heart so much. And help me, God, to get it across to your people. I pray there'd be liberty here tonight, Lord, a blessed spirit of your spirit, God, working in our hearts and our lives. Now, please fill this place. Fill me with your presence. And God, bind the devil. I plead the blood of Jesus here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our merciful God, here in this story, and I'm just going to use this kind of as a kickoff, if you will, for the message. But David had numbered the people of Israel, and he had done it out of pride to see how many people he had, and to see how much how many soldiers he had. And God had said, David, it angered God. Look in verse 1, the same chapter. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against him to say, Go number Israel and Judah. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled. David was prideful in numbering the people, seeing how many people they had, and then it wasn't God's will. It wasn't what God wants us to trust Him and not how many people we have or how big our church is or things like that. You understand? And so David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people that I just read to you. And the preacher, God's preacher, Gad was his name, David's seer, David's prophet, his preacher, and they had their own personal seers, their own personal prophets. Amen. Their own personal preachers come over to their house in the morning and tell them what God said. Amen. You should say amen right there. But I'm sure that wouldn't work so well in our Western culture. But the Bible says in verse 11, when David was up in the morning, he got a knock on the door. Amen. It's me, David. It's Gad, your prophet. I've got a word from God for you. Amen. And by the way, it came in the morning. I just wanted to point that out. It came in the morning and before the day. But so the Lord had told Gad to go tell David, David, you've sinned. You know you've sinned, but I'm going to give you three choices. I'm going to give you three choices. I'm going to give you your choice of punishment. Hey, man, I don't know if your dad ever did that for you, but sometimes he did that for me. And he told me, okay, you can have this or that. I can't even remember the choices. I just remember I always picked the spanking because it was quickest. I got over it quickest. I mean, it hurt, and it like the Dickens, whatever that means, it hurt a lot. And it lit me up, brother, let me tell you. But it was over, you know, in a matter of 15 or 20 minutes, whereas, you know, I had to, you know, scrape the paint off the house, or you know, do all kinds of, you know, weeks and weeks of work, or just a few minutes of, oh, it's over. So I always chose that. Amen. I don't know. That's just the memories there. But David had choices. 7 years of famine, verse 13. 3 months of pursuing or running from your enemies while they're pursuing you, or just 3 days pestilence. Pestilence being a plague. of illness and sickness. And David said in verse 14, this is kind of where I'm going to go. David said unto Gad, unto the preacher, he said, I'm in a great strait here. I'm in between a rock and a hard place. And he said, this is his decision. His decision was the pestilence, because he knew it came from God. Okay, and 7 years of famine, the enemy's chasing him. He said, no, I want the pestilence from God, because I know that my God and his mercies are great. Verse 14, I would rather, that's what he says, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. And I will take my punishment, my chastening, if you will, from the hand of the Lord, because I know he's merciful, instead of coming from the hand of man, who I know is evil.
Amen.
Okay, and I want to look at that, and it's interesting, you and me, we've got, I want us to come to a place in our lives where we choose, always choose, the mercy of God. When you got saved, now listen, I don't want to jump ahead of myself too much. I got a lot of scripture to use here. But when we got saved, it's because we decided to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God. Amen. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Mercy is nothing more than tender pity.
Yep.
Pity. It's kindness.
Amen.
It's compassion. It's forgiveness.
Amen.
It's nothing more than God feeling sorry for his creation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look in Lamentations, okay? Now, again, we're going to use our Bibles. Yeah. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, in chapter 3. This is probably one of the most well-known verses concerning the mercies and compassions of God. It ties it together. Lamentations 3. 22, it said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You know what it means to be consumed, don't you? Completely devoured. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. New every morning, God's mercies and his compassions never run out. They never run short. That is the only reason you and me are not consumed. That is the only reason. Now look over in Psalm 36. Just some introductory verses here. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy mercy... Y'all there? I don't hear any pages, so I guess... Psalm 36, verse 5. Y'all are fast. That's good. Thy mercy, O... Either that or you gave up. Don't give up. Amen. Thy mercy, O Lord... I'm not going to look up so you don't think I'm talking about you. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How does he preserve man and beast? Because he's merciful. Look in verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness. That's what mercy is. Loving kindness. O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. That's exactly what David was doing that day when he chose the punishment from God, the pestilence, knowing. And by the way, the end of the story is that when God was pouring out the pestilence and the plague upon the people, the angel of the Lord was delivering that pestilence, and God said, stop, 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 that's enough. In other words, it didn't go a full 3 days. It didn't, and God's mercy kicked in just like David knew it would, and he stopped it. He stopped the pestilence. He said, no more. And why? Because he simply had pity on his people. Yeah. That's all. That's what mercy is. And it's loving kindness. The Bible describes it here. And that's why, listen, look in verse 7 again of Psalm 36. I don't want to go too fast. I got a lot of scripture, but this is good stuff. Look, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, or because of that loving kindness, the children of men, that's you and me, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. You can trust God because he's merciful.
Amen.
You can trust God because he's loving and kind. You can trust God because he knows, he's compassionate, and he takes pity on us.
Yep.
I mean, literally, that's what that verse is saying. That's how come we can trust God. Now you tell me one other person in this world that you know you can trust, who without fail is always kind and compassionate. Right. Name one.
Well, great.
Yep.
You can't. That's why, if you think about that, the rest of this message is this will help you. You can't name a person. You say, well, this person. Well, no, wait a minute. I remember that time. Well, this. Well, no, wait a minute. I remember that time. But the fact is, we know we're all sinners.
Right.
We know we're all sinners. But this loving, kind, merciful, faithful God in heaven, He has never failed, and His mercies are new every morning, and His compassions never fail.
Amen.
That's our merciful God. Look in Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 16. You know why God answers our prayer? Look in 69:16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Man. I don't think I'm going to get through this message. I don't. Y'all pray for me, because this mercy of God. I have been chewing on this for weeks now, and it's been a big help to me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me. Now, why would God turn unto me? Look what it says. According to the multitude. How much is a multitude? Well, dearly beloved, I don't know, but it's a lot.
Amen.
Turn unto me according to the multitude of what? Tender mercies. That's a tender heart, tender, compassionate, forgiving, kind, loving, merciful God.
Amen.
That's the only reason God hears our prayers.
Amen. That's right.
That's the only reason God turns to us. And when we need Him the most, that's the only reason.
Yeah, amen.
Because we have a merciful God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Whew, I'm not going to be able to get... Y'all pray for me. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And we do, and we know we should, but why? For He is good. Why is He good? What makes God good? Because His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
His mercy. I mean, what makes a God as holy good? Because His, I can't preach these, I'll never get through this. But His mercy endureth forever. It never fails. It never runs dry. It never runs out. He is a merciful God.
Yes.
Look in Psalm 119, the next chapter there, verse 64. Don't forget what mercy is. It's nothing more than tender pity, kindness, compassion, loving kindness. Look in 64, Psalm 119, 64. The earth, O Lord, look at this. Man, look at this. Is full of thy mercy.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's full of God's mercy.
Amen.
There's no corner, there's no area, there's no region, there's no place where that God's mercy is not present.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
There's no country, there's no tribe, there's no nation, there's no tongue, there's no culture, there's no language, there's no jungle, there's no village, there's no city, there's no town, there's no continent where God's mercy is not present. It is everywhere.
Amen. Lord.
Amen. Man. Look in Psalm 136. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to see this. I know you've seen this before if you read your Bible, but look in Psalm 136. There's 26 verses in this psalm, and every one of them is very similar. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." This is the same as 118. "For His mercy endureth forever." Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. It goes on like that for 26 verses. Here, I want to do this as an exercise with y'all. I want y'all to get involved for a second, okay? I'm going to read the first part of the verse 4, and then you're going to say, all of you, out loud, "For His mercy endureth forever." Then I'm going to read 5, and then you read, "For His mercy." Okay, don't just sit there and mumble, okay? Say it out loud, okay? Let me read verse 4. And to Him who alone doeth great wonders.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For
his mercy endures forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. Amen. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
That ought to be our anthem of praise unto our God for the rest of our lives. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He is good. And look, read that chapter on your own. Not right now while I'm preaching, but think about that. Every one of those verses says that his mercy endureth forever. That is our loving Heavenly Father. Look in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious. Do you know someone who's gracious? You say they're gracious. You know what that means? Is they're giving.
Yeah.
They're a giving person. They're just gracious. They're always giving, serving, helping, humble. Why is the Lord gracious? He's full of compassion.
Yeah.
And he's slow to anger. Now listen, that's one big deal there for me.
Right.
Slow to anger. Why? Because he's of great mercy.
Amen.
I mean, glory to God. Look in verse 9. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Now listen, don't miss that. Verse 9 says that everything he does is peppered with his mercy.
Yeah, come on.
Everything he does to all this, listen, mercy is the only reason that these people out here today are not in hell right now.
That's right.
Mercy is the only reason we're not in hell right now.
Yeah,
and everything he does, and when the sun rises in the morning, it's because of his mercy.
Right.
When you and me, I can't go on. I'm not going to ever get through this. But everything that he does is because of his mercy.
Amen.
Because his mercy endureth forever. Because he is merciful and gracious, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All his works. Everything he's ever done.
Amen.
It's because his mercy is peppered and it overshadows it all. That's our God.
Amen.
Now look in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh Lord, it's hard to imagine why this God would love me. But listen, stop right there for a second. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why.
Amen.
This is why he would love me. I know how it is. Trust me. To be an independent, Bible-believing, Baptist, living by the grace of God, born again, saved, trying to please God in this old wicked world. I know what it means to feel like I'm a weirdo. I'm insecure, nobody likes me, and it's never going to work. It's just not worth it. It's weird. It's uncouth. It's unacceptable. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. I know what it's like. And what you end up doing, if you're not careful, is you end up wondering, because it's so difficult to be God honoring in this life today, you start wondering, does God really even love me?
Amen.
And you start to realize, I don't deserve for God to love me.
Right. Amen.
And so you start to wonder, well, I don't deserve God to love me, so he probably doesn't. I mean, otherwise, why is it so hard?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. This is why he loves you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Because he's our merciful God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians. Because he has pity on you. Now, don't get so full of pride. You say, well, I don't need his pity. Yes, you do. Oh, dear God, yes, we do. We need it. We need it more than ever. Anything in our... We need this precious mercy.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this. The Father of mercies.
Yeah.
And the God of all comfort.
Amen.
The Father of, in other words, every drop of mercy that you've ever experienced, whether it be from God or from somebody else, because other people can be merciful. Every drop of mercy you've ever experienced, maybe it was from your parents when they just didn't wear you out like you deserved it. Every drop of mercy that you've ever experienced is because God gave it to that person, because he's the Father of all mercies.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you see that? In other words, if it were not for God, there would be no mercy in this entire world. Because He's the one that started it all. God, that is good. That is good stuff. And I'm really just getting started, but I'm having a good time. Look over in James. This is just some introduction here, amen. James chapter 5. Believe it or not, I cut back a lot of these verses. I cut a lot of them out because I was trying to get to the message. But anyway, James chapter 5. If we'll feast on this old precious book, amen, we'll be different. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. We kind of talked about that this morning. The end of the Lord is always good. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It boggles my mind to think that God would have pity on me. Why? But you can't miss the point. That's who He is. Amen. That's His character. That's His attributes. He is a merciful God. Amen. And David knew that.
Right.
And listen, David took full advantage of that. When he chose, I'm going to fall into God's hand,
amen,
not man's hand. Because I know my God, He's merciful.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
That's exactly what I'm trying to get across to, is that we have a God in heaven who pitied. Now, Job is another example. I mean, Job went through more trials and tribulations and afflictions and problems and heartache and sorrow, and he and his wife together they went through this. But God, the end, notice that verse says, the end of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
He got twice as much as he started with.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Because God took pity on him. Because of God's great mercy.
That's right.
I'm telling you, if your heart is not hard tonight, this is going to help you. If your heart is hard, I hope this will soften it a little bit. Because this is our merciful God. This is the only reason God would ever love us. Because He simply took pity on us.
That's right.
We are so, I am so full of pride that I don't even... I have been chewing on God's mercy, like I said, for weeks. It's just been coming up all everywhere in my reading, in my study, in my prayer, in my spirit, in my heart. And God is just trying to point out something. This is why you can trust me. Because I know you. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I know everything about you. And I am still going to always pity you and have mercy towards you.
Amen.
And the end of my life, the end of the Lord, in verse 11 there, James 5, is going to be, listen, way, way, far better than in the beginning.
Amen. That's right.
Why? Because of God's mercy.
Amen.
Look in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, I want to stop right here. As the Lord gives me this thought, I want to address this thought for a second. We dare not approach this thought of God's mercy with a woe is me attitude. I don't deserve this. Of course you don't deserve this.
That's right.
But see, for you to let this just drop on the floor and not get into your heart is foolish pride.
Right. Right, huh?
Of course we don't deserve this. Right. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
We don't deserve it, but that's what makes God, God.
Right.
Because of His mercy extended to you and me who don't deserve it.
Right. Right.
We could not ever earn it. We could never... He took pity on us.
That's right.
How could you ever deserve that? How could you ever earn that? You had to be dumber than a box of rocks for a holy God to take pity on you. It's not because you were smart, not because you were wise, not because you were pretty, not because you were rich or talented, not because you were somebody, because you were dirt.
Yeah.
So for you to sit there and say, well, I just don't deserve this mercy. Of course you don't deserve this mercy. None of us do. Don't take that attitude. It's not going to help you. The attitude is this: oh God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, amen.
And then it'll help you.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're just going to go out of here as miserable as you came in.
Yeah, come on.
But it'll help you if you stop being so full of pride and say, God, this is me.
Amen.
This is me. Look in John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever, Calvinists, whosoever, you heretics, whosoever, then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever. I mean, just whatsoever disease he had. No matter what was going on in his life, no matter what sin he had, whatsoever, that's our God.
Amen.
Now look, that's our merciful God. But that's no coincidence.
Amen.
Verse 2, the word Bethesda, you know what it means? House of mercy. Why would God just send an angel down anytime he felt like it to stir up the water, and anybody that got in there, no matter what was going on in their life, healed?
Thank you, Lord.
Mercy. Mercy.
Amen.
At the house of mercy, God's mercy is manifested.
Amen.
That brings me to my first point. Are you ready? My first point here tonight is the motivation behind God's salvation is His mercy.
Amen.
The only reason that God chose to save us is because of His mercy.
That's right.
Because He felt sorry for us. Because He saw a helpless little invalid. I mean, seriously, you may be healthy as an ox, but you were a spiritual invalid.
Yes, right.
You could not do anything for your spiritual condition. You could not do anything to save yourself.
Right.
You could not do anything to forgive your sins and cleanse your own heart. You could not do anything to ever attain the righteousness of our holy God. But that righteous and just and perfect and almighty God is merciful.
Amen.
And that's the motivation behind every one of our salvations.
Thank you, Lord.
And John chapter 5 is the first text that I want to use to show you that. The motivation behind all our salvation is God's mercy.
Amen.
Now you say, preacher, wait a minute, I thought we were saved by grace. We are.
Amen.
I'm going to show you that in a second. We are saved by grace. But the motivation behind that grace is mercy.
Amen.
So what about love? Well, exactly. Why would God love a dirt pile? Because of His mercy.
That's right.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? That's what I'm talking about. His salvation is motivated by His mercy. I'm going to show you some scripture now. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, we're not done with your Bible. I know you thought maybe you were done, but don't put it down yet. 1 Peter chapter 1. I got lots of stuff, and I maybe cut some of it out, but hey, amen. Just let the Bible do the preaching. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, this is one of our memory verses a while back. I think it was last Easter. Anyway, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, which according to His abundant what?
Mercy.
Oh, because of His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The reason that God saved you and begot you or gave you new life or you were born again was all according to His abundant what?
Mercy.
Mercy. The reason that God sent Jesus Christ, yes, it's His love, but it was motivated by His mercy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw me. He saw you. And He said, they are helpless. I feel sorry for them. I take pity on them. And because of that abundant mercy, He sent His only begotten Son to save us.
Amen.
Look, I mean, that's it.
Amen.
That's why you're saved tonight.
That's right, Lord.
Amen.
Because because a God in heaven felt sorry for you. And aren't you glad?
Amen.
And that, listen, I don't know about you, but in my heart, that helps me understand.
Amen.
Because if to say that he loves me, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
right.
There's nothing to love.
Amen.
I mean, seriously.
Right. Yeah.
If you just get honest with yourself, there's nothing to love. Yeah. I'm talking about God loving you. Yeah. Why would God love me?
Yeah. Come on.
I'm serious about that.
Yeah.
And if you sit there and think, well, I deserve to be loved, then you got to get right. But if you understand, why would God love me?
Yeah.
Why would God be gracious and give me everlasting life? Why would Jesus die for me? This helps me make sense of it all because he felt sorry for me.
Amen.
And now I can begin to understand.
Amen.
Now I can begin to understand.
Yeah.
Lord, that's right.
Yeah.
That makes me understand it now.
That's good, man.
Because you're right, I needed you to feel sorry. That's the only hope I had. If you didn't look down and feel sorry for me, I'm doomed.
Right.
Come on.
I'm done. I'm dead.
Amen.
That's right.
God didn't love you because you were so lovable. God loved you because he's so merciful.
Amen.
Amen.
That helps me understand it.
Amen.
I don't understand the love of God. I've told y'all that before. I don't understand it. But this helps me.
Amen.
He felt sorry for me. He had compassion.
Amen.
He had mercy. He took pity on me.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And that helps me understand it.
Amen.
A lot more. Look in Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Verse 12. Psalm 86, 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart.
Amen.
Now listen, why? I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now that's good, but here's the reason.
Amen.
For or because great is thy mercy toward me. How is his mercy great towards me? Look, thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Why did God save you? Mercy.
Amen.
Why did God deliver you from that horrible pit and that miry clay? Why did God deliver you from that lake of burning fire? Because of his mercy.
Amen.
The motivation behind anybody's salvation is the mercy of God. The pity.
Yep.
He took pity on you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. And that helps, I'm telling you, that helps me understand it. I want you to look over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Of course, it's demonstrated here best. Luke chapter 10. The motivation behind God's salvation is his mercy. All the motivation, every bit of it, is his love, his grace, his salvation, his goodness. It's all because of his mercy, his pity. Luke chapter 10. Verse 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And you know, this is the story of the Good Samaritan and the half-dead man in the ditch, which, by the way, was me.
Yeah.
You. You were born physically alive, spiritually dead, half-dead. You understand, this is a picture of God's salvation. And the only reason that you got saved is because Jesus looked on you, God looked on me, and he had compassion.
Amen.
He took pity.
Amen.
On a half-dead man who, by the way, hey, listen, deserved it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
What do you mean, preacher? He left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
Jerusalem's the city of peace. Jericho's the city of thieves.
Right.
Well, when he got to the city of thieves, he fell among nothing less than thieves. How about that?
Sorry.
He deserved it. He He went where they were. Of course he got beat up and left after. Why? Because he went where they were. He associated himself with them. He kept company. He deserved it. Listen, folks, listen to me. You can't ever sit around and say, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve that. We deserved it.
Sorry.
But that's not the point. The point is, God looked on us.
Amen.
And saw a half-dead man who needed mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And had compassion on us. And you know, I'm not going to read the whole story for sake of time, but everything that that good Samaritan did for that half-dead man who deserved to be half-dead was simply because of mercy.
Amen.
At the end of the story, look what it says here. It says, verse 36, Jesus said, Now of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, think was thou neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed what? Verse 30, mercy. God didn't just have mercy. He showed it.
Amen.
He showed it. While we were yet sinners, amen, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He showed it.
Amen.
Herein is the love of God, amen. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, who were all, by the way, half dead, beat up, and left for dead in a ditch, worthless, completely worthless to the world, worthless to society, of no value to any man at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on.
But his mercy. His mercy took over when he saw you. And everybody who will ever walk the streets of gold is going to have to once and for all admit, the only reason I'm here, Lord, is because you felt sorry for me.
Yeah, amen.
The motivation behind God's salvation is His mercy. The means of God's mercy is the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Number two, look over in Titus chapter 3. The means of God's mercy. How could God be merciful? How could God be merciful? What means did He have to be merciful? It wasn't just because He chose it. Even it had to be, there's more to it than that. Titus chapter 3. And we beat up Titus in the 5 o'clock study. We're going back, amen. Titus chapter 3, look in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. There it is. The motivation for our salvation was His mercy. And by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. Now look, that mercy shed upon us, the Holy Spirit shed upon us abundantly, but only because and through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen. That's right.
You understand the difference there, right? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The means of God's mercy, what allowed God to extend that mercy and show that mercy to us was the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind. Remember, loving kindness, one to another, tender hearted, tender mercies, forgiving. Mercy, forgiving, compassion, forgiving one another, even as who? God. That's our God.
Yeah.
Kind, tender hearted, forgiving. But it says, even as our God hath forgiven, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, even though His mercy was always there and His compassion was always available, there had to still be a payment for sin.
That's right.
You understand? There had to be a payment made.
That's right.
For the sin.
Amen.
And see, when Jesus came and shed His blood on the cross to make payment for our sin, that's all atonement means. He made payment for our sin. Now through that payment, through Jesus Christ, then God's mercy can be shown to us by giving us everlasting life.
Amen.
See, the motivation behind it was mercy, but there had to be a means to make it possible, and that was Jesus' blood.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's good stuff right there.
Amen.
Jesus' blood
Amen.
Is what made God's mercy possible.
Amen.
There's no way we could ever. There's no way we could ever achieve that or reach that mercy. It had to be through Jesus Christ,
Amen.
His blood. You remember the tabernacle. The study we've been having on Wednesday nights, and I hope that you'll be faithful to church, amen, and come, and we're going to stay on that tabernacle for a while. But remember that Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place is a symbol of God's presence and power and glory, okay? But in that Ark were the testimonies or the Ten Commandments, which is what we know as the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law of God in that Ark. Now look, if it was just up to the law, we'd be done for.
Yes, sir.
It's the law of God that makes us all guilty, that makes sin exceeding sinful.
That's right.
And if it was all, but wait, God wasn't finished.
Amen.
He said, and lay over that ark.
Amen.
The mercy seat.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
That's good.
Think about that. And what did that priest do every year? Walk through that high priest every year, once, not without blood, and he sprinkled what? He sprinkled blood on that mercy seat.
Amen.
Because it was the blood that made God's mercy available to you and me. It was the blood of Jesus that made that merciful salvation available to dirtbags and sinners like you and me. Helpless children, just completely hopeless. And the law had judged us, the law had condemned us, and we had no excuse. Our mouths were stopped, we were without hope, without God in this world. But the precious blood of Jesus came along and made atonement for our sin. And so instead of it being a judgment seat, it's a mercy seat.
Amen.
Glory to God, that's good stuff.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
And it's all because of God's mercy.
Amen.
But Jesus' blood made it possible.
Amen.
Oh man.
Amen.
That's good stuff. Jesus' blood on the mercy seat. I want you to notice third, the marvel, as if this isn't enough, the marvel of God's mercy, now stay with me, is that it's constantly available to every believer.
Yep.
Not just salvation. But constantly. Now, I'm going to show you some scripture now. Psalm 23, you know this one well. Psalm 23. I'm not going to quote the whole psalm, but it says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy
Amen.
Shall follow me, what?
All
the days of my life.
Amen.
I mean, why? Because verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd.
That's right.
Amen.
And think about that. All the days of my life. Surely means verily, completely, without doubt, a completely positive, confident, knowingly, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. They're always going to be there. Why is God's goodness? Because of His mercy. There wouldn't be any goodness without the mercy. Look over in Psalm 32. The marvel of God's mercy is that it's constantly available to the believer throughout the rest of your life.
Amen.
Psalm 32, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, oh blessed, blessed truth, mercy shall compass him about.
Amen.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You're saved. Why? Because God's mercy will compass you about for the rest of your life. You've trusted in God, you've given Him your heart, you've thrown yourself upon His mercy, and now you're saved.
Thank you, Lord.
You're saved. You're born again. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, many sorrows, verse 10, are running rampant through this world. When something happens to you and me, though, listen, it's not because God's trying to make us sorrowful. He's trying to help make us trust Him more.
Amen.
Because He says, trust me, and you'll see my mercy.
Amen. That's right.
Trust me, When something happens to you as a believer, God's not trying to push you away. He's trying to pull you closer.
Amen.
Brother Warsher was just asking me. He said, I want you to tell me, Pastor, why did I have two surgeries back to back, laid on my back down, and they were painful surgeries. I don't know, brother. But I know one thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God's mercy is right there.
Amen.
Right there.
That's right.
Praise God. Right there. Right there. God's mercy is available to you and me for the rest of our lives. When we are at our lowest and weakest, we can rejoice.
Amen.
Because we know our God still has pity on us.
Amen.
He still has compassion on us. He still loves us because of His mercy. Look in Psalm 106. It's available to us the rest of our lives. Psalm 106. I read this to you earlier. I want you to see it again. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, that doeth righteousness all the time. Look at verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. Oh, visit me with Thy salvation. That's not talking about your soul salvation. That's talking about God remembering us because His mercy endures forever. He remembers us in our times of trial and tribulation, and He brings and visits us with His salvation. He brings us through it, guys. He'll bring us through it because He knows we must have His help. Because we know, He knows that we cannot do it on our own.
Amen.
That's the beauty. That's the marvel. Now you look in Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, if you live a life of sin and try to hiding sin and try to live in the shadows and try to live a double life, some type of hypocrite, even as a Christian, you can try to hide the sins that you're nobody know about, and you're trying to live, you know, like this make sure everybody loves you, but yet you know in your heart that you're not right with God. The Bible says if you cover your sins like that, whether you're saved or lost, you never prosper. But if you confess and forsake those sins, you'll have mercy.
Amen.
So I'm not talking about taking it, like just living in sin and taking God's mercy for granted and treating it like it was some kind of yesterday's garbage. I'm talking about, though, living a life according to His Word by the best of our ability. Not that we're sinless and perfect, but when we do know there's sin in our life, we confess it and we forsake it. And the only reason that we're able to stay right with God is because of His mercy kicks in right then.
Amen.
I mean, you know, do you know what revival is?
Mm-hmm.
I just read it to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I just read it to you.
Amen.
So, preacher, why do I feel like I need revival? Because there's sin in your life.
Come on.
That's it. The only thing that divides us against, remember, His mercy is everlasting.
Right.
His mercy endureth forever. He's a merciful God. That's not going to change. You can't change that. I'm sorry. That's His character. That's who He is. Thank God for it. Oh, God, thank you. But you know what? What happens if you start hiding your sin and acting like nothing's wrong and continuing to dabble in it? You see, your joy begins to fade.
Yeah.
Well, I just read to you, we can rejoice and we can shout for joy because of His mercy. But what happens is His mercy doesn't change. We just let sin creep in and we continue to let it dwell. And we regard iniquity in our heart, and He no longer hears our prayers, and His mercy hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah,
we've just forsaken His mercy, and we've chosen sin.
That's right.
That's right.
But the beauty of it is, no matter where you're at,
Amen.
No matter what it is,
Amen.
Whosoever, whatsoever,
Amen.
You confess it, and forsake it.
Lord. Amen.
And then His mercy right there to pick
Amen.
You up.
Amen.
That's revival.
That's good. Lord. That's good. Amen.
That's what revival is all about.
Amen.
We get so wrapped up in life and living life that we don't even think about God's mercy. And sin just begins to envelop our lives, consume our lives. The Bible says it's the little foxes, by the way, that spoil the vine. The little foxes. If you remember Daniel, when he was in Babylon, and they said, you got to eat this king's meat and drink this king's wine. And said, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says the reason he said, I'm not going to do that, is because he purposed in his heart.
Amen.
Not to defile himself, but listen now, with a portion of the king's meat.
Amen.
A portion.
Amen.
Not even a bite.
Right.
Because it's the little bites. It's the little portions. It's the little foxes.
That's good.
Amen.
That spoil the vine.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, the joy's gone. And we wonder, where's God?
Come on.
Yep.
Where's that mercy? Why aren't you feeling sorry for me now? I'm feeling sorry for myself right now. Well, the problem is, there's sin somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to get alone with God. And you need to say, God, listen, sometimes sin is so deceitful, Satan is so subtle, that he makes sin seem okay, and you're not even sure where it is or what it is. But I promise you, if you get alone with God and say, God, I am not the same as I used to be. I am not as close to you as I used to be. There's something wrong, and I know your mercy hasn't changed. I know your mercy hasn't run out. We already read that. We already know that. That's proven. It's not failed.
Amen.
I know your compassions haven't stopped. They're new every morning. So, Lord, where's the sin?
Yeah.
Amen.
And listen, this is not something you're going to be able to pray in public. You got to have a secret place. Hide yourself under the shadow of His wings and find out from God's own Spirit, Lord, where's the sin? I heard a story about a tent meeting, a revival. And the evangelist was preaching and talking, preaching. And one night after the meeting, two or three nights into the meeting, someone came to the pastor of the church that was hosting the meeting. And he said, Pastor, how come brother so-and-so, how come he's not preaching harder against sin? Sin is the problem. How come he's not preaching harder against sin? And the pastor said, well, what do you mean, brother? Just last night he preached a bit against backbiting and gossip and murmuring and complaining and unforgiveness and bitterness.
Amen.
And you see, that's our attitude.
Yeah, come on.
We think sin is, you know, the drunkenness and the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the theft and the murder. But wait a minute, what about your rotten attitude?
Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Yep.
Come on.
What about your complaining?
Yep. Okay.
What about that person that you won't forgive?
Yep. Come on.
Yep.
See, that's just as much sin, guys,
right,
as sin is.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, amen.
But see, we're Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
And we've become professionals at labeling sin.
Come on.
And then we say, well, how'd you preach it on sin? Well, I am preaching on sin. I'm just preaching on your sin, and all of a sudden you don't hear it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Help us, man.
You know, you can't run around on Facebook and act like you're a godly Christian, talking about people and looking into people's lives and being a busybody, and then posting other things about other people, and then filling your mind with garbage and call yourself a godly person. That's why you have no joy. If you would admit it, you'd find mercy. If you forsake that junk and throw it in the garbage, you find some mercy.
Yeah.
But no, that's not sin. Everybody's doing that.
Come on.
But see, that's why mercy means nothing to you.
Yeah, come on.
God still loves you, and God's still going to feel sorry for you, but it's withholding that mercy. And by the way, the only thing that's going to restore you is His mercy.
Right. Yeah.
But you're just continuing down that same old road of sin and backbiting and murmuring and gossiping and evil thoughts. Why did God destroy Noah and the generation of Noah? Because of their thoughts of their heart were evil continually. It's their thoughts.
That's right.
You can't put the world's garbage into your mind and expect yourself to be godly. It's not going to happen.
Good.
Turn the TV off, amen. Turn the computer off and get in the book of God and find out what's wrong.
Amen.
You'll find mercy.
Amen.
Because it's there. There's no end to that mercy.
Amen.
But you won't ever change.
Come on.
Until you confess.
That's right.
And forsake it.
That's right.
See, the mercy of God is the only reason you're saved.
Amen.
But it's still there.
Amen.
All the days of your life, it's following around waiting for you to stop running from it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And say, okay, Lord, I stop. Here am I. I confess. I'm forsaking this today. And boy, I'm telling you, I have been there. Don't start looking at me like some rotten sinners. I'm just talking to you about the fact that I have been in places where the devil has tried to lead me astray out of his will. And as I had to go back and pray and say, God, I would rather die in your will than get out of it for any reason.
Amen.
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 That's right.
And as soon as you let sin start filling your mind, you are going in the wrong direction.
Right. Yep.
Me too, I'm telling you. The mercy's not run out.
Amen.
You've run away from it.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Amen.
That's right.
It's there.
That's right.
I got to hurry. Y'all bear with me. But this mercy is the only reason I'm still standing here today.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The only reason you still have this pastor. God's had to feel sorry for me far more times than I want to admit.
Amen.
But He never stopped.
Thank you, Lord.
He never stopped.
Amen.
And as soon as I did what He said, my joy came back. My fire came back. My heart was stirred again. My heart was warm again, no longer cold and ice and hard as a rock, but broken up in tender flesh, meaty, tender, loving, stirred up, hungry for truth and righteousness. Why? Because I forsook the sin. I'm not talking about that again. Don't shut off your imagination, okay? And don't worry so much about me right now. Look into your own life. The marvel of God's mercy is constantly available to all of us. All of us. The mark of God's understanding God's mercy. The mark, Romans chapter 11. The mark of understanding God's mercy is serving God. If you really understand God's mercy, the mark on your life will be you will serve the Lord. Romans 11, first, let's start there, 32, verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Look at that. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
And then, after saying those things and glorying in God's mercy, he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, based on those last few verses, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Sorry, that's right.
If I can do justice to God's word tonight, I'm trying, but if I can help you maybe understand mercy a little bit more, the proof will show up in your service.
Yep.
For the Lord.
Amen.
The proof will show up in your sacrificing of yourself, your body, to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Your time, your energy, your strength, yourself, your body, a living sacrifice to serve the Lord.
That's right.
And that's the mark of understanding this mercy. Because if you have no desire to serve the Lord, then you do not understand this mercy. I'm not talking about being lost. I'm talking about being saved, but just not grasping what I'm trying to say tonight. Amen. You have no real grasp of this mercy, then you won't serve the Lord. But if you understand this, and understand that it's only by His mercies, through His mercies, you will present your body to Him, Lord, here am I.
Yep.
Here am I. I'll serve You till the day I die.
Amen.
I don't want to pick on Brother Worcester, but I'm glad he's back. I know he's still. But you know, one thing that he always says to me, he says, you know, I am not giving up on my God.
Amen.
I am not going to stop serving my God.
Amen.
I think he understands.
Amen.
Mercy.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I think he remembers where he came from. I know I do.
Amen.
Amen.
I remember. And it was only because somebody felt sorry for me, and that somebody was Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to serve Him. It's only reasonable. It only makes sense. That's what God says. If you understand this, you will just logically serve Him.
Amen.
It'll just be a natural outpouring of your understanding and your gratitude for His mercy. You remember when the Good Samaritan, don't turn over there for sake of time, but Jesus said, who was his neighbor? And the scribe or the lawyer, I think it was a scribe, he said, well, the one who showed mercy upon him. That's right. And then he said, go and do thou likewise.
Yeah.
Now that you understand mercy, go live it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because see, when I'm serving the Lord, I'm inevitably always going to be serving and helping people.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
You understand? So when I'm helping people, let's say maybe bus children who have nobody that cares for them, their parents treat them like they're just a big burden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
They had nobody to care for them. And you really understand what I'm saying to you tonight. And listen, the only reason that's going to make you go out and give yourself to those bus kids is because you understand God's mercy.
Amen.
And so when I'm doing likewise, I'm understanding what God has done for me. I was the half dead in the ditch. Now I'm going to go help somebody else who's half dead in the ditch. Because I understand His mercy. And it's changed my life. I'm not going to continue to dabble and play around in my sin. I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
Because the only reason that I'm still standing here, the only reason I'm saved is because He felt sorry for me. He loved me because of His mercy. You understand? The miracle of God's saving mercy is the only thing that the lost man needs the most.
Yep.
Let me say that again. The miracle of God's mercy is what the lost man needs the most. You and me, when we understand this mercy, blind Bartimaeus had been blind his whole life. He sat by the wayside begging. He heard in the crowd that Jesus was passing by. He stood up, amen, and what did he say? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew what he needed. Jesus then also tells us the story of two men went down to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and he said, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm such a wonderful man. I thank you that I pray all the time, and I fast, and I give tithes, and I'm not like this publican over here. And I thank you, Lord. And the Bible says he was praying with himself.
Yep.
You ever felt like that? You're praying with yourself, like your words are just bouncing off the ceilings and the walls. Then over here, this poor publican, he would not raise his eyes to look upon God. He beat upon his chest. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
That's it. Jesus said that publican man went home justified. He went home saved.
Amen.
The Pharisee went home just as lost as he ever was. There's one difference. One understood mercy.
That's right.
The other didn't. And the only difference, the only reason he didn't was because of his pride, which is what I was saying to you earlier. We forget where we were. Finally, I close with this. Look over in Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 12. Verse 19, verse 12. The men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place." Now let me give you the background if you're not familiar. The angels of God were sent down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, but Lot lived there. And so they're now speaking to Lot, and they're saying, "Look, is there anybody else in this city? You've got to get them out of here." Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place." His daughters married Sodomites. "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, now look, his sons-in-law were the Sodomites. His daughters were married to them. It was the Sodomites that thought he was mocking. It was the Sodomites who mocked him. You understand, that's no coincidence. But look now at verse 15. "When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered..." Don't forget that. "The men laid hold upon his hand," in verse 16, "and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And looking down in verse 23. "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Now, I want you to notice in verse 16, and I'm done. This is the first mention of God's mercy in the Bible.
Amen.
Verse 16, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, laid hold of the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." The first mention of God's mercy, it's an amazing study. But here it is, I told you, the motivation behind God's salvation is his mercy.
Amen.
See, look what God was doing for Lot here. God was getting Lot out of this city. God was getting Lot out of judgment's way, out of harm's way. Listen, you understand something. This is a picture, listen to me, of the rapture.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is a picture of the rapture. I want you to understand that look in verse 22 of this same chapter. "Haste thee," the angel said to Lot, "escape thither. I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." What's he mean? I can't destroy this city, Lot, because Lot was a saved man. And God said, "I can't destroy this city. I can't bring down the judgment against this city until I get you out of here." And that's a picture of the rapture. Amen. We're going to be caught away, snatched out of this old world. Then judgment's going to fall. But why is God going to rapture us out of this world? It's because of His mercy, and not helping us, letting us see the judgment.
Amen.
So God showed mercy to Lot. Remember, I told you the motivation behind God's salvation is His mercy. I also said the means of God's mercy is the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. This isn't because Lot deserved it.
Right.
Lot lingered.
Right.
It was only through Jesus that God saved Lot. Look over in verse 29. Here's a picture of it here in the same chapter. "It came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow." What does that mean? What? God remembered Abraham. Why is God going to rapture you out of this old world? Why is God giving you everlasting life? Because God remembered Jesus.
Amen.
And His blood sacrifice
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You see, it's all pictured right here in this blessed scripture right here. So I said the mercy of God is motivation for his salvation. The means is the blood of Jesus. The marvel of God's mercy is it's constantly available to the believer. Now wait a minute. Lot deserved that fire as much as anybody else. It was available to Lot even still in this deplorable condition. His life was so defiled. I don't have time to take you back, but right the night before this, he had offered his two daughters to the Sodomites of that city to do whatever you want with them. And even in that despicable condition, God's mercy was still available because he was still... The Bible calls him just and righteous Lot. He was a saved man. And God's mercy was still available to him. That is, it's amazing. It's astounding to me to see how this plays out. But I want you to understand something. I also said the mark of understanding God's mercy is that you serve the Lord. Hey. Lot didn't understand it. Lot lingered in Sodom.
Right.
Lot wasn't serving God at all. Lot was serving Sodom. Lot was sitting on the city council. Lot was serving sin and self and Sodom. Boy, that's a trio you don't want to mess with.
That's right.
And let's add a quadruple, make it a quartet. Satan, sin, Sodom, and self. You don't mess with that. But he didn't understand God's mercy. That's why people so often today do not serve the Lord. They live in this world as if there was no salvation. Listen, if they're born again, they're born again. You understand that? If they're saved, they're saved. By the mercies of God. Only by the mercies of God. But they don't understand it. That's why they live in Sodom and serve Sodom. But God's mercy doesn't run out. He'll still rapture them out of this world when it's time. I said also, the miracle of God's saving mercy is what the lost man needs the most. You understand? Lot was raptured out. His two daughters were raptured out. He had three other daughters, or other daughters and son-in-laws. They all destroyed. Not because the mercy wasn't available, but because they rejected it.
That's right.
That's it. God said, "I'm going to destroy this city. Go tell everybody." And Lot, instead of... He should have been telling everybody all along.
That's right.
Instead of when he went to tell them, they mocked him. Yeah, right. Come on, give me a break. Like I'm supposed to listen to you. You live like the rest of us.
Come on.
And so they all died in hell. They're in hell right now. Because Lot didn't understand God's mercy.
That's right.
The rich man died. Lazarus died. Lazarus was taken up to Abraham's bosom. The rich man woke up in hell, in torments. And he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. For I am tormented in these flames." Have what? Mercy. And Abraham said, "It's too late, boy."
Yep.
You had your chance on the earth.
That's right.
It's too late. The mercy of God is the only reason you're not going to be in that flame.
Amen.
If you're not saved tonight, if you wake up in that torment flames, it's too late to cry out for mercy.
That's right.
It's too late.
That's right.
But thank God for the mercy that felt sorry for me. I could go on. This, I know it's late and I've been too long. But thank God he just looked down on me and saw a helpless, half-dead, worthless really. Nobody else cared about me. Not like he did. Nobody else could do anything. Not like he did. I would love to tell you the love of Jesus. I'd love to tell you about the grace of God. But listen, it's all backed up and motivated by the mercy. He simply took pity on a helpless soul. Our Father in heaven, that's the message. Lord, I pray you'd bless it. Lord, I know I went too long tonight. Please, God, work in our hearts. Help us not to worry about the hour. Lord, please give us a greater understanding of your mercy. Lord, how it would keep us humble, oh God, if we would just draw on this mercy. Bless the invitation. God, may we understand. Oh Lord, I pray. Be merciful. Thank you.